This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Free Lifton here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. It is actually quite a good morning.
Could be iffy. 50-50.
Oh, no, it's all right. Where's the glass half full? Sun's shining, it's spring, lots of flowers coming out.
It's amazing, eh? You walk around, eh?
And
some of the plants have actually got perfume. It's quite nice to walk past. You know, some of those Michaelias and port wine magnolias are really nice. Get a sniff.
I must admit, you see some lovely roses, but if they haven't got a scent, I think,
probably artificial.
Yeah, I like the old scented roses, scented flowers,
The scent's been taken out of them, a lot of them, through crossbreeding and all that stuff.
It was Mrs. Bouquet.
Mrs. Bucket.
Mrs. Bucket. Used to drench yourself in them, but yeah.
Okay. I'll go to the almanac before we carry on. 7th of
September.
September, yes. 1934. Anti-fascists hung a banner atop the British Broadcasting Corporation, or the BBC's headquarters, advertising a demonstration against a rally by Oswald Mosley and his British Union of Fascists that weekend. While Mosley had been invited on to the BBC to promote his Nazi views and advertise his demonstration, the BBC, like the rest of the British press, refused to give a platform to anti-fascists or to mention the counter-protest. Despite this, on the day, over 100,000 Londoners overwhelmed the fascists and their police guard and drove them out of Hyde Park. That would have been funny, eh? Yeah.
A bit like the the people came out a couple of weekends ago, after all the trouble, far right, et cetera, having to go at the immigrants. You know, the ordinary population came out in their droves.
It was amazing. A lot of members of the aristocracy were supporters of Hitler. They thought he had the right idea.
Well, that's supremacy and elitism.
Metford sisters and...
Yeah, unity and all them. Well, I think one of them was a bit...
Mind you, they're brought up in a privileged world, and I suppose they just believe.
I think one of the Metford sisters was a communist.
They're very political on both sides of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One was deeply infatuated with Hitler.
Yes.
I think she was on a shot herself.
Yeah, mind you, you've got to look at the Germans came out of the Depression, et cetera, and the defeat and humiliation of the First World War, and then, of course, Germany started rising again, warts and all. But they built autobahns and they did lots of stuff.
Well, they claimed credit.
That impressed.
The Weimar Republic had done those autobahns, but the Nazis claimed credit.
The Weimar Republic was unpopular. So they say. 1977, violent clashes took place between workers and bosses' thugs at a machine tool factory in Mohanagar, India. Mm. Workers protesting outside the plant against unfair wage deductions were attacked by armed security guards. Local workers and passers-by joined the demonstration and the guards opened fire, triggering a violent response from the crowd, which burnt down the factory, killing the two shooters. Workers in neighbouring factories went on a wildcat strike in solidarity with 20,000 people gathering in protest the next day. interesting.
Anyway. You're talking about industrial disputes. See, America's been had lots of industrial disputes in the hospitality industry. One was Hawaii.
Okay.
Hotel employees have been striking for better paying conditions, etc., etc.
Yeah. Okay.
So they've, you know, it's been a kind of a widespread industrial dispute just recently this week.
What's Trump going on about saying about the tax tips? Because you know in America they've got a really low
pay,
the hourly rate.
So the way that they rely on tips to
should taxed. So and Trump's going, I wouldn't tax tips. So that, you know, but that's that same thing. The common, he's trying to have that common link with the
thing about the tip system is it all goes into a pool.
Okay.
And then so you get some workers who do deserve a tip.
Yeah.
And you get others who just layabouts and just take the money, you know.
Okay.
So it's a very unfair system.
Now, someone's,
and they're totally reliant on tips to augment their wages.
Yeah, and someone says it's crept into New Zealand and some of the tourist areas, Queenstown and all that, the expectation. And
UK, the terrible for tipping.
The casino. Right? You go to the casino now, and I was, a friend of mine that won't be mentioned.
Very good friend.
And went to pay, and you go to pay for your drink, and then it's got, you have to push the button, and there's the tip choices.
Before, well, I mean, you've got a range of the percentage.
Or how much or whatever.
Oh, right.
Whoa. And I thought, you know, so I paid cash from there on in. I want to get caught up in that. But
it's a terrible system.
And fair enough, if they were $7 and that's their system, but it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
It's like the paved way thing we were talking about a few weeks back. I'm not the only one who's been resisting paying that 2%.
Yeah.
But now they're trying to move the goalposts, so it's incorporated into the price.
And we do have a strong, you know, it always could be more, but we do have a minimum wage system that works,
Well, it works to a degree, because even that minimum wage, even though it's still well below the actual cost of living inflation.
Yeah. Compared to America.
Their cost of living,
So, no, I just thought, I was quite surprised. I thought, oh my God, I've got to. And I'm sort of like, it was put on you that you had to tip, you know, and I thought, I don't like to be.
You do it out of, because you want to, not because you've been reminded.
Yeah, like on social media when someone puts something and they say, share it. You know, they've almost like the old poison pen letters. Mm-hmm. You know that. Let's show what sort of person you are. Will you share this or not? You know, well, that's intimidation.
Yeah,
and that's how I felt at asking for money on the at the casino.
No, that's taken.
And you can,
you had the option to decline
to get out, but it was still there. And I thought, oh wow. You know?
Yeah, you won't go back there again.
And if you've had a nice meal and you've had a few drinks, you might not even notice the option and
press it.
Yeah.
You might press the high one.
Yeah. And I do tip from time to time if someone's
done
exceptional service or there's
been very pleasant.
Spilt a drink over, you know, my gravy over.
They've gone out of their way to.
And the waitress has had to put the napkin around my private parts, you know. Well,
is this your friend you're talking about?
Yeah, that's not me.
Your friend,
But you know, something's happened, and they deserve it. Yeah, I'm not against that.
On a slightly more serious note, it's 7 years this week since the Grenfell Tower went up in flames.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They've had the inquiry. And people who survive are still waiting to see if anyone, if at all, is going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
I think Starmer made an official apology in Parliament, on behalf of the government, blah, blah, blah. But, most people are waiting to see, is anyone ever going to be held accountable for it? And it's not, Grenfell wasn't the only building that had this appalling cladding. Several places.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got some over here too. They were checking out after that.
Yeah.
But that was terrible, eh? Yeah. 7 years. They said 7 years, where the hell has time gone?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Also, the comments were that the people who were told, you know, the fire safety instructions for the tenants were, you know, if there's a fire, stay in place. And of course, the ones who stayed in place lost their lives.
Yeah.
You know. Awful.
Yeah.
I think it'd be swept under the carpet.
Well, they were poor, so they don't have...
The building company who put the cladding up have offered to replace it, but they haven't actually said when they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's a bit like any other disasters that you hear through time.
Yeah.
You're like, there was one I listened to that happened in Spain in the 70s, where this tanker of propane exploded near to a... was a camping ground.
Oh, yeah,
because it overloaded the tank.
Yeah.
And
just spilled over.
And because it went out as a gas, and then it struck a barbecue.
Kaboom.
Yeah, and killed all these people. And they said so and so that these six people were charged, but they got sentences, but they got reduced, and they got reduced.
Yeah. And it goes back to, let's face it, like we're talking about it, asbestos and that, at the time we didn't know it's dangerous.
Mm.
So, of course, it goes back when you put it, if you deliberately, and it goes back to in courts, et cetera, if you have intent, if there's intent to put up something dangerous, then, the thing, if you don't know a product is dangerous, it's different.
But these days, when they bring these products, they're always doing testing, surely.
Yeah, and I think
something like cladding for a building, they would be going out of the way to make sure if there is a fire, it doesn't...
But what I'm saying is when they put it up...
intent, whether they knew at the time.
They probably didn't.
Yeah, so...
But if they found out after 10 years that cladding, if they, and it could well have, if they found out on that process before the fire, hang on a minute, these claddings have got asbestos in them or they've got something...
And then they didn't do anything about
it. Then they didn't think. That's the culpability
But you hear countries doing shortcuts in the building industry here.
There's not a reason why you need regulations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Did you say that out loud?
Regulations.
Regulation.
Yes. Oh. What if old Seymour retained that type of regulation?
Yeah.
Yeah, this article caught my eye at the beginning of the week. Headline reads, absolute heartbreaking, and this is about a medical practice in Otara. And there's a picture of several people of mostly one or two Europeans, the rest are other ethnicities, and they're queuing up from 6 o'clock in the morning in the hope of seeing a GP or even making an appointment. And this is a first world country?
Yeah.
And you guys were talking about having been through Remuera, and the disparity between the two doesn't even meet, does it?
And it's the same city.
Yeah, the Herald's been running a series of articles about the shortcomings of the current health system, and it's been undermined by.
Let me think. Is the Herald doing any articles on inequality, and actually the undercore issues behind why we've got a queue of people that are obviously poor, many of them sadly obese. So that's what I'm getting at. We know we've got a crisis on the doctors and all that, but is there any articles on how that evolved? The fact that have we kept up with infrastructure? Was the planning there? Why haven't we got the doctors, et cetera? Was it just we've got a million more people?
And why have we gone ahead with these tax cuts?
Exactly. We'll get another medical training facility, et cetera.
It all costs time, money, resources.
But it seemed we're really quick to bring people in and profit from them, the people who have extra, who own everything from smoke stalls.
But then when those same people might require
but they didn't
treatment.
Even care about them because as long as they would bring the people in, they didn't. Do they really care that we were going to put so much pressure on our health system? And our sewage systems and you name it, and that's what I'd like to see more. Go back to what we talked about, the spirit level at 15. The same thing. It was just like a frenzied free-for-all, how much money, this is how much money we can make off our extra houses and land holdings.
Never mind if...
As long as they come in, we're going to be rich.
Yeah.
Never mind there's not a hospital to cater
or for school
them.
Or whatever.
And unfortunately, when I say unfortunately, the reality is a lot of the people have come in, have got skills, have got money, etc. So they're all right. It's actually Benny and Mary and Marty who are all pohara, are living it hard anyway, who are the ones who've lost their tenancy, lost their house. They're the ones who are vulnerable. They're poor. They need a system to work.
And as you pointed out before we came on the air, I wonder how many people in that photograph voted.
And the cynic in me, there's a lot of people know that they don't vote, so they don't really care. Where does, you look at political parties, they tend to direct where they think the votes are.
Well, yeah. They look after the voter base.
Yeah, hence the race card thing with our present tri-armed government, you know.
Or the three stooges.
Who are full of platitudes for the sad passing of the Māori king, but have spent, their last bloody year bashing Three Waters, bashing Nanaia Mahuta, bashing anything they could get their hands on that was to do with Māori, you know.
I was looking at these words that were written in here. One of the clinic's community liaison managers is saying this has just gotten worse over the last 5 years. And then you get this sort of words from Reti, were not acceptable. The morning queues outside that clinic
were not acceptable.
That's
course not acceptable, but what's he going to do about it?
Yeah, there's no other comment. This is just a snapshot of what he said.
Yeah. Which is all meaningless, really.
Yeah, really it is. Yeah.
This is a first world country. Yeah. It's pretty disgusting.
It's been going on.
This will be an example of what's going around in other parts of the country.
Yeah, and go back to Te Whataora, you know, where they went to prioritising, Māori statistics for poor health, et cetera. And, oh, no, we can't do that. But the reality is they were targeting groups of people that we were obviously doing not very well in the health. Every other.
But that was seen as kowtowing to a particular group.
Yeah.
It says in here also that McCann, who's the Tamaki Health, and he's chief executive, I think, said the way GPs were subsidised by the government was outdated, a concern backed up by several government reports, including the Saperi report commissioned by the last Labor government. So I wonder what happened to that report, or has it been filed in the dustbin?
It's been filed, it's lucky.
But there's also lack of education and lack of understanding, you know, and I've told Mick this, maybe you, Craig. You know, I had several people I knew during the COVID came back and said, oh, our doctor's wonderful, they're not charging, or they're only charging $10 for my consultation. And I said, oh, that's good. But they don't forget they're still getting paid by the state. You know, $90 or whatever the fee is for a quarter of an hour consultation. What? They didn't have no idea that we, the people...
Subsidise their
fee. You know, and that's where, you know, you go into a hospital, into the, what do you call it, medical, the doctor surgery or whatever they call them, doctor's places, and... you know, they say, oh, it's free for children. The wording needs to be, we need to have far more education. It is, children do not have to pay.
As a result of being subsidised by the taxpayer.
It's a taxpayer fund. There's no charge. But they also need, in my view, they also need to pay. This is the government, what the fee of the government gets, what the doctor gets. Why can't people? Why do we have to hide what people get from the government?
Yeah.
You know,
it covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it?
That's right. You know, and it's like, oh, look, that's a lovely car. We don't know if it's how much tax is claimed off that, if it's tax deductible car.
I had some good news because last week I had an email saying that my charges against my doctor were going up, but it was only measured in percentages. I gave lost a little bit, so I had to go calling anyway. I said, I've got this email, how much is it going to go up by? I said, I'm paying $19.50 at the moment because I'm a pensioner. Luckily, she said, well, at the moment, it's not going up for you. So at the moment, pensioners, their cost to go and see a GP may not be going up. How long that continues is another thing. But other patients are having to have their fees hiked up, which then adds to the problem of those people in that article waiting to see someone, can't afford it, and then end up in the emergency department.
Exactly.
So they're all doing the transfer and the cost of seeing those patients from one outlet to another.
Yeah, just moving along.
And as they get older,
those problems increase as you get older. Things start going wrong.
And they will have early death. You know, if you get comorbidities and you can't...
If you have a hard life, you have a shorter lifespan. That's the whole article there. I didn't go through the whole article, Craig.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It goes on the page four, but... Yeah, it makes for grim reading.
It's very sad.
I was just disgusted and I thought, what?
So you wouldn't know, these people are probably not registered with a medical practice, are they?
No.
By the sounds of it.
Yeah.
But this guy, there's a guy, a chap in all in blue, I think he's just had a hip replacement. He was waiting to see someone where he had a problem with his hip. I don't know.
He's a walker. Yeah.
But so, how many of the same people are registered to vote?
And the photograph doesn't show all of them. Sure, if they panned the camera down, it would have gone down the block and maybe around the corner.
Yeah, and the photographer probably would have asked people, "What if I take a photo?"
That was a small sample of from 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and you can look at the people here, and they've got all sorts of just on a visual.
Rather brown,
yeah.
Let's face it.
Maori or Pacific Islander.
Some are obese, some have got physical problems.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Their attire doesn't show that there's any wealth there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So it's dreadfully sad.
So that comes down to inequality, that line there.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Mm-hmm. It's been orchestrated by certain individuals who shall remain nameless.
Yeah, and we were giving tax cuts, you know?
Yeah.
And rebates.
And
unfortunately, the $4.50 for people at the bottom of the end,
if you haven't got $4.50, it's a fortune. If you haven't got that.
Yeah, I know, but that's the equivalent you got back from your pension.
It's gone. Mm-hmm. That's gone.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been taken by seeing a doctor, it's been taken when you go down to the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. Or taken by your landlord or rent review.
Or your landlord.
Yeah. Or the power company.
Yes.
Or the council.
Yeah, we were talking about the expense, and I was thinking about this, and how Professor Livy is talking about it's not a problem of underfunding, it's overspending. And I thought, that's another rephrasing that phrase of getting more bang for your buck, which means doesn't bode well. But I thought, you take a single roll of bandages that's manufactured somewhere, it costs X amount. With the increase in electricity charges for all these factories to run their machines to produce these goods, then you've got to deliver it from the plant to the hospital.
Yep.
So the cost in that manufacture of that one roll will have gone up. Unless you've got special terms of buying in bulk. But that must be a contributing factor to the fact that they've got a blowout in their budget. It doesn't help.
It always reminds me of Marie Antoinette, and there's a really good meme of Nicola Willis with her face as that, and it's really clever. But it's that sort of living in a lap of luxury, going, "Oh, I don't know what the problem is. I can't see anything. Nothing to see here. Give them cake, you know? Nothing to see. Well, maybe I get an absorbent amount of money, or maybe I should pay a bit more tax on my income. Things like that. But no, we won't look at that. We'll just look at those poor people and say, they should have studied more at school. They should have been born into a white middle class family.
In the perfect world, those people could all got qualifications, but there's still not enough jobs to go around.
And everyone's different. Jobs. It doesn't matter. We're all different capabilities, etc.
But in an ideal world, executive paying jobs to go around.
And someone, the executive, someone has to pick up the rubbish. Someone has to make the bed. Mm-hmm. Everyone works. Everyone works, and it's harder to work when you're not paid much, or even if you're not working, because then you work to exist.
Yeah. No longer a life.
It's not much of a life, you know.
Yeah.
It's an early life. It's a shortened life, you know.
Yeah, but it also sounds that some people are on their cell phones too.
And that goes back to all this sort of things are all out of kilter, you know?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Because speaking of that, did you see that article about that shop or what it was that opened up in Timaru?
No.
Panda.
Panda?
It produces cheap goods.
Oh, right.
Mm. Yeah.
In Timaru?
Timaru, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the word of warning is that it'll be dangerous for the environment.
And what's it going to do? Sure. Produce cheap.
They're just cheap goods.
Cheap goods coming from overseas.
More than likely, yeah.
It should be all synthetic stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a $2 shop or something.
Yeah. Just an oversized
$2. Or is it online you can buy from?
No, you go directly into this bloody big shop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like a warehouse.
Which just creates more rubbish that doesn't.
Yeah, that's what the concern is.
Consumerism. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just an aside.
Yeah.
But that's a shocker though, Mick.
Yeah, it is, eh?
Very sad.
There were several articles during the course of the week looking at various aspects of cheap, and it's down to their funding too, this,
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wonder what does a doctor get paid?
I have to take a wild stab. I mean, between 80 to 100 an hour, maybe? I don't know.
Their degrees, takes that.
Sure, but we don't forget, and this is the same thing, we're not open enough about sure, you become a doctor and you have to pay some of your own learning fees, yeah. Right?
Mm.
But the state subsidises an awful lot of that.
Yeah.
So for each doctor, and I don't know the figures, but for each doctor, say you end up with 100 grand that you've had to pay yourself or, mm-hmm. or your family from Smugsville's help pay, most of them, how much do we, the rest of the people, pay for that person to become a doctor?
Mm.
You know?
Is it
10%?
Yeah,
is it 90%?
We're entering the realms where you don't disclose your tax if you pay any at all your income. People don't like to disclose their income because of repercussions, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's always hiding behind privacy, you know.
Well, we all hide it, and I think, well, actually, we should know what the lawyer...
A doctor's finished trainee has cost X amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and they have put in $10,000 this year, and we, the taxpayer, including themselves, the people of this country have also put, for your $10,000 you spent, they've also put $90,000 or whatever the figure is for you to get trained there.
Yeah, I mean, I had paid my student loan back when I was lucky. I went to London. The exchange rate was $3 to the pound. Yeah, but I got rid of it three times as fast.
But even your student loan isn't the full amount.
It's still subsidised by the state.
And that's weird. We all hide behind what a doctor get paid, what a lawyer. When you go to the court and you get in trouble, what does your legal aid lawyer get paid for you being in court? It all gets a grey area. We won't actually tell people that.
Because if we tell people that, then we have to work out, how much tax are they paying on it? And it just opens a can of worms for them.
And it's the same thing. You're driving in a Mercedes. Why don't we know if that's a tax claim car or not?
Yeah.
But we don't go there. We don't go. At a society, there's some unspoken rules that we just won't go there.
No.
Can we ask them, how much tax do you pay? You know,
because they don't want it because they're afraid of competition, maybe.
Maybe.
If they find out something, I can do it for X amount cheaper or whatever. They're hiding, but there's just an excuse to cover their...
Someone has five farms. Do we know how much tax they pay at you?
No.
To get those five farms?
No, we don't.
No. And I bet you it's not pretty if you're a socialist.
No, you'd be weeping.
Enough. I'll go out and jump off the bridge.
That's a damning indictment of a first world country.
Very much so. Yeah.
And unfortunately, the same thing's happened in the UK, other parts like the United States, parts of Europe,
and it's
other parts of the world. It's going on. They were talking to Al Jazeera just recently about the young female doctor who got killed in Kolkata.
Mm.
Oh, the doctor ratio was two doctors for every 1,000 people. So they've been out on strike because the government's repeated this. We're going to try and improve the doctor ratio, security. And they said at this hospital where that woman was killed, there was no cameras worked.
I saw that.
Repeated promises by politicians who've done nothing about it.
But okay, does it go back to, as I say, people don't vote? So, in the end.
There might be an element of that, but I think people in that end are fairly militant.
Yeah, but I say they have what's their voter turnout? Like, what's going on as our societies? What's the commonality in the West? And I don't know about low voter turnout. That's one of the biggest commonalities we got, you just think, they don't vote, so we don't have to care. And as long as we throw them enough bloody crumbs, they won't have a revolution, we're fine. Thank you very much. And humans are greedy, so even if they have a revolution, they'll just take a few out and then we'll offer them. And they'll have a turn and we'll be right. Thank you very much.
If things get too rough, we can hire a few thugs. You only get paid maybe a bit more than the ones they want to suppress.
I'm very, very cynical today. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah, but of course, that voting, they just had state elections in Germany, Saxony, and Thuringia. And I think you've got more, I think it's another one, it's Brandenburg coming up state election. But the swing to the AfD, it's frightening, really.
They were talking about that.
I've done a little
and
bit.
And it buys into the spirit level thing, though. Disaffected group, feel excluded. They've tried the mainstream, and they've been mainstream politicians, and they've let them down, so they turn to extremes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a very good thing on YouTube, and it was done by Freddie Sayer, which is called Unheard, UNHERD, and on the 3rd of September. And they interviewed these two German sort mm-hmm. of commentators, Thomas Fazi and Katja Hoyer, and it was really interesting because they were talking about, okay, why is it right
personally appealing?
And it's because they're disillusioned with their own leadership.
They've been let down.
Mm-hmm. And that's a Western thing, and we talked about a bit with the spirit level at 15.
Yeah.
The commonalities is people feel left out.
It was said before East Germany has always been a poor cousin to the rest of the country, even after unification.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And left out, and there was massive layoffs in different industries, mining, all sorts of stuff.
In the East, yeah.
And so they're bearing the brunt, and they're they're disaffected, excluded.
Yeah.
And so
it's a breeding ground for extremism.
Yeah. But guess what the voted turnout was in Thuringia and Saxony?
Say 50%?
No, it was 74% and 76%. That means the people came out to show their discontent.
They've had enough.
And that's really interesting because that's a high turnout, isn't it? You know?
Well, compared to some recent elections, yeah.
So I recommend that little show because it's not that long, but it was a lot of wise words said. And basically, this guy, Thomas Fazi, was one of the commentators, said you know, was commenting why Sarah Wagenknecht, who is BSW, which is they're a socialist. She's representing. She was in the left. I think it was called the left in German, but she's got her own party now, and she's just saying that she's a socialist in the sense that she just wants the old style of conservative left wing politics, not so much woke. But just more
Common sense. How you define common sense? But pull away from the extremism.
And this guy Thomas Fazi, sort of summed it up in a way. Said if you believe in preserving stability, communities, and traditions, it can only happen when the state or the local government intervenes to rein in the excesses of capitalism in the market.
Yeah. Which they're not doing.
They're in bed with them.
And hence, go back to the spirit level at 15, etc. Hence, society's breaking
getting
down.
Worse.
And people are disillusioned because they're not listening.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because they've got federal elections in Germany in a year's time.
Yeah, and there's another.
Brandenburg's the next one.
Brandenburg is another regional. There's 16 regions in Germany and they all have their own local government.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if this, in the federal election, whether this wave continues.
Well, Brandenburg will be interesting in the sense that we've had all this publicity now. Germany's in shock over this.
Yeah.
What
could
mainstream Germany? Because
how could this happen?
Hello.
Wake up.
Yeah. So, but of course, and also the other unmentioned, of course, is the war.
Mm.
You know, the Germans have had to bend over while United States has basically shafted them in their effort for the United States to preserve its hegemonic attitude.
And
who's paid the price? Germans.
Make their bank account nice and
healthy. So Germany has always been very skilled at technology and cars and all this.
Yeah.
But, of course, a lot of that was not just the skills, was also the fact they had a good-priced Russian energy.
Mm.
And, of course, someone blew up their pipelines that provided it. So, and of course, who's come along and now is really good at technology? China and India. And, of course, America is sitting up there saying, nothing to do with us. Well, America's doing quite nicely out of making weapons and selling oil and gas, of course.
I think I heard a report, I think it's now Al Jazeera, that some gas is still getting through to some parts of Europe.
Oh, sure, it still is.
And this is why they're the big ugly, and the big bear. It's ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous because Germans are tied up in it. America's quite happy having this war.
But it's creaming money.
Of course it is. You know, if you own anything, you're in the elite. Mm. And not just America. In New Zealand, Australia.
All across the globe.
You've got a share portfolio that's got munitions, etc. You'll be smiling.
All the way to the bank, literally. Yeah.
But, I recommend that. The German thing is interesting. But there's two... What's interesting is you've got the after and you've got BSW, right? And BSW is so Wagen.
Was it Germany for Germans or something? Was that the after?
You know, yeah. Which he got in trouble for because you're not going to say that. Oh, because anti-Semitic.
He's been, because the leader of the AfD has been in court. He's been using nuts. Bjorn Hawke's name is.
Yeah, which you think, how do they get that? But of course, you can't mention Israel Palestine. That's not Germans don't go there at all.
Verboten.
Yeah. So, but.
But they're quick to jump on things like, you know, Nazi slogans and anti-Semitic, you know, but.
Yeah, but it just shows you that the Germans aren't happy.
Yeah,
you know, the people, yeah.
The people aren't happy, and they are being played by America.
Well, I just generally feel that the people across the globe have been let down by their political leaders because...
Of course they have, you know. Yeah. And they're refusing to listen.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing. We've had huge demonstrations on the Palestine thing.
Because they've got agendas. They've got...
And the danger is, of course, if you don't listen to your people, sure, at present, for the last few years, they've got away with it. We'll just keep supporting Israel. We'll just keep throwing money into Ukrainians.
Well, one would think we'd start to change. Eh? You think it would be?
Well, this is
the tide would be turning.
Is this the start of it? It might be in East Germany, an old sort of
former Soviet Republic.
It'll be interesting. Is this what's changing? Because look at France. And okay, they had to do a collusion between everyone to stop the far right, which in itself was
they've just announced they've got a bit of a dirty tactic. Finally, got a new prime minister.
They have, have they?
Yeah.
Finally. Okay. A Macron puppet, or they get someone they like?
Things from the right.
Yeah, see? So they won the election and Macron still won, you know?
Yeah. He still won, yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting what happens with in a couple of weeks with the next German regional election. BSW, there's the BSW and AfD. What's interesting, one's on the so-called far right, and the far right's a terminology. But so one's on the far right and one's you'd call on the far left, like the old socialist,
you know.
But they have things in common.
Mm.
The commonalities that neither of them really want the war in Ukraine, you know, and immigrants.
And the commonality of both those extremes is power.
Yeah.
Mm. As you saw in the Soviet Union, they're just as bad as the Nazis.
Yeah.
So
the two extremes are no-go here as far as we need to be more centrist.
But
they're
appealing to people because people feel disaffected.
Course.
It wasn't just AfD that did very well in the German election. It was also BSW,
that's what happened with the appeal with Nigel Farage party.
Yeah. Of course, disaffected.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've been spoon-fed this diet of hate and division and blame.
Yeah, so
and that's how extremist organisations work.
Yeah. So anyway, what was interesting in these elections in Thuringia and Saxony was, of course, the Greens. I think they got in, but only by just. So And the Greens over there are this sort of warmongering.
Because the other party's got hammered.
Yankee Lackey. Yeah. The mainstream parties
got hammered.
Yeah. And I think in Saxony, the conservative mainstream have hung on.
Only by the fingernails.
And also in Thuringia, although they were the main party because of the German, how they vote, which is democratic, they got 30-something%. They still have to get. To get enough seats to run your local government, you're going to have to do a deal.
Coalition.
So will the other parties all form an alliance?
Well, that's what they were speculating that the other lot would get together just to stop these other ones getting in. Yeah,
and that's got its own problems.
Yeah,
of course, because then you're suppressing, you know.
And plus, they spent all their time squabbling amongst each other instead of getting on the job and helping ordinary people.
And traditionally, traditionally the party that gets the most vote is meant to have the first opportunity to form the government. So watch this space.
Interesting, eh?
So that happened while I was away.
It did. Just on that, it's quite interesting. I listened to Professor Jeffrey Sachs, and he's very good. He's always, if you look up anyone, look up Jeffrey Sachs. If you want an alternative view from what you see on our mainstream media, et cetera,
he gets a lot of airtime on Al Jazeera. They call on them quite a bit.
And he talked about Germany and he talked to, you know, Ukraine.
Was this fairly recent post?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember who put it out. But and he just said, the bottom line is America doesn't care how many Ukrainians die.
No.
America doesn't care how many Russians die. In fact, an old phone.
What's important is there's no body bag coming back to America.
What's important to America is they maintain the hegemony. And if they can weaken Russia by Ukrainians and Russians killing each other, who stays strong? America, because they do it. So he said, you know, at the end of the day, America doesn't ever mention how many Ukrainians die. You look at American TV and all that.
They don't mention the stats.
Don't mention this. It's hard to find. He said it's not promoted all the time. But what is important to America is winning. Is about fighting for freedom, so-called fighting for freedom. And so he's very scathing on it because he said the whole thing is a tragedy. Could have been avoided, but there's been an awful lot of money made out of it. You know.
Yeah, that seems to be the world view. Make money at any cost.
At any cost, yeah. So, no, he's definitely...
Yeah, I like Jeffrey Sachs. He's really good. And the thing is, he talks in layman's terms, so he gets the message.
Him and John Mearsheimer, who's a professor, they're both all academics, but it's quite, you know, they're very good at how they explain it. Not necessarily always right, because they're giving their opinion, et cetera, but they've also got some academic background.
Yeah, but they counter that argument to their audience.
Yeah, and they usually back it up with facts and figures, you know, and it's not just, I think America's bad. They back up why America's done bad
things. They're good communicators because they can relate to the audience that they're aiming for.
And they've backed it with some work.
Data.
Oh, I got a good news. It's a natural thing, but of course the Māori King's passing and our new Māori Queen, Tainui, is Ngā Wai Honui Te Pō. So big shoes to fill.
So it's hereditary, isn't it, this one?
It's seemingly going that way. It doesn't have to be, but it's seemingly going that way. But I thought about Te Heiti, my mihi to Te Heiti is, when he first came along, I think he was sort of thrown into it, didn't really expect it, and so he had to grow into the role. But the last few years, I personally thought this guy is really a good leader. He just grew in wisdom and everything else. So
he's a bit out of his depth when he started.
I think he was. And you know, like any sort of family or any group, you've got to fulfill your way.
Especially in a public arena.
Māoridom's no different to any groups or whatever. You know, there's different people have different agendas, et cetera. But his call, Te Heiti's call for kotahitanga, you know, and that for unity and all that. And I don't think he's just mean for Māori unity. He was looking for unity between all people here. You know,
Be a nice idea. It's a nice ideal.
Yeah, and that was the old one of the Māori kings from earlier on. There's a Māori saying about the different colours of the thread go through the needle to bind us and all that. And that's the reality. But we don't want to leave anyone behind or that ugly head of racism and prejudice and class.
Well, we now live in a toxic capitalist system.
So she's got big shoes to fill, but I think she's obviously been chosen. She's not, you know, I think she's 27, 20.
Right, that's whatever. Young, isn't it?
Yeah, but okay, that's good. It got stability, and you know, she'll be just filling away for a while. And the Māoridom itself, you know, you've got your own internal stuff. You've got your Pōkai, and you've got lots of things that happen in the Māori world that she'll be expected to attend and support and all that. Yeah. So, but wishing her all the best. And
well, hats off to the people who now are here, because, I mean, how long was the tangi for? 5 days?
Six or seven days. And plus, they just had the coronation.
So the logistics in terms of feeding all those people.
Oh, there'll be some exhausted people. Yeah. So, you know, my heart goes out to all Tainui and those who follow the
tangi. And well-organised.
Yeah, and in one way, the Kore Nehana, as it turned out, was quite a good rehearsal. You know, rehearsal's probably the wrong word. I'll probably get in trouble for that.
Yeah, but they could have called that experience.
The cooking fires would have still been warm, so to speak.
That's a lot of meals, a lot of food.
Well, just the logistics of it all and all that. But they gave him a wonderful feel. And my down on that is seeing some of the politicians who've spent some of their time
slagging off
the Māoridom and their aspirations for a betterment of their people.
And then they're suddenly given these platitudes.
I won't say any more than that.
I think I can give a pack of fire trucks.
Anyway.
Members of the Country Club.
Yes, yeah,
yeah,
that too.
Yeah, so anyway, yes. So moi moi te rangatira and kia ora, kia ora roa te Gwini ho, ngā wai, honoi te pō.
Yeah, and Luxon wasn't here.
He wasn't?
No, he was...
Wasn't he on holiday in South Korea or something
somebody said they should have asked him if he would like to step across the border, and then they shut the door.
So he is in South Korea.
He was.
Where is he now? He just sold one of his houses for $900,000, so he's got a bit of money. Anyone needs a bit of a loan? I'm sure he'll... Yeah.
Oh, Otara Medical Centre could do it.
I'm sure
he'd probably be queued up, I suppose. His kids would be queued
up. But I think he was also dodgy.
He could chip in and claim it against tax. So it wouldn't really come out of his pocket.
Yeah, probably.
Well, he'd use a government card.
He'd
use a government card to get there. Yeah.
Well, I think he was dodging a bullet while he was over there, too.
See Mrs. Luxon. In that queue, can you?
No. Is Seymour married?
To himself, probably. No.
Well, don't see him.
Who mentioned the word?
And that's not people's. Let's face it. It's not people's fault. But as say, it's still, even if you have empathy, you still can't put yourself. It's very difficult to put yourself in those people's place that are living.
Because those people, every day would be a daily grind.
It doesn't get better. It's not let's go down and try to see what it's like to be poor for a day.
It's day after day.
It was a bit like that British program they had some years ago about people living on the street, trying that as an experience.
And it is good of them to do it. But you can still go home to your warm shower.
You can suck yourself up. You go, I'm only doing this for a fixed period, where the people are doing this permanently.
Well, it's like us with our Palestine rallies and all that. We go out and it might be raining this afternoon or whatever.
We can go home and get dry.
But we can go home, and most of us can go home to a home that's not flattened, and B, no one's trying to kill you for being who you are.
Yeah.
And, hopefully people can have a feed and a warm shower and, So it's a small sacrifice. So it's empathy, but it's still not the same as experiencing it.
But that sort of situation, but it's highlighting the disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Go back to the spirit level.
Politicians being in bed with capitalists.
They've sold their souls, and they're in bed with multinationals. And
to me, it goes back. Sadly, that even New Zealand, we think we got a 70% voting rate. It was probably only 60%. Those people don't vote. The people that make the decisions, sadly, will make noises about it, but they know they won't vote. So they don't care too much. Mm. And they don't live next to them. They don't live in Smugsville. They don't live. They aren't going to Beachville for the weekend to stay in their beach haven. So they really, apart from seeing it in the newspaper, someone asks them a question about it, they don't experience them at all.
And Luxeter was over in South Korea and I think Malaysia to make trade deals, confirming the analogy that politicians and capitalists do share the same sack.
Well, it's interesting he's doing it on a trade mission, because this last weekend we were talking about the Japanese-owned pulp mill companies worried about the cost of electricity.
Yeah.
He's going on a trade mission to encourage, obviously, more investment into a system that is struggling to produce because the cost of production is going up. It just seems very short-sighted. It's all about grab the money and...
Well, health, electricity supply, all goes back. We've increased our population, and where's the foreplanning?
None. Or hardly.
Profit-taking, yes. But where's the foreplanning?
None, there's very little.
So
it's basically profit taking one, foreplanning nil.
Yeah.
He was also, I think he was also dodging a bullet over there as well.
Literally or figuratively?
Figuratively. Right. We could say literally. if you're thinking about the man with the funny haircut across the border. It was to do with the fairies.
They're trying to dodge from that. Mr. Luxon, don't get me started on him, but he's playing to his base, that's the reality. I've got a little bit of
good news. Yes.
And the good news for wearing my green hat is that in Tuscany, there's a new airport somewhere, and I haven't followed the big story, I just saw it as it came in here, and it was like they're going to grow an orchard on top of an airport terminal roof.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's several places around the world that have got rooftop gardens with trees to encourage carbon, reducing their carbon footprint.
There was one in Sydney when I was there years ago, Cheryl and I were there years ago, and you could see it, and they had planted all the balconies and all that with these plants. And, you know, it certainly shows there's an expense to it, but we build a new building. I don't think it would cost much more to allow for the weight of some trees, a couple of metres of soil and you know, because I'm building it to be stay up.
Well, it's been going on for quite a while now. Various places around the globe have got rooftop plantations.
And some cities are starting to, I think in Sydney
to compensate the carbon dioxide in the cities.
Yeah, and they've built it that you can't have dark roofs for housing, you know, and all that to try take the heat off. So there are some efforts out there.
Oh, there are people thinking outside the square.
Not unified in a global sense.
But unfortunately, you just don't have the mass political will from the elites who could do something about this.
Which Jeffrey Sachs always says, there's the global effort. There's individuals, but how to get a global
effort or mass.
Yeah, and so sort of how you probably get it is you end up going, okay, we do it in Hamilton and then that's infectious and then it goes to the next city and the next city until it becomes a nationwide effort. So,
well, I've got another good story in it for it. Was it bittersweet? The oxalotl.
That's
walking fish from Mexico in one part of Mexico. It doesn't exist anywhere else.
I was the father of children with oxalotls.
But these creatures are quite amazing. I mean, they're ugly as sin, but they can regenerate nerves, muscle, limbs, and parts of the brain. Yeah. And so scientists are now tapping in, trying to find out their genomes as to how they can regenerate limbs or nerve endings. So that was a kind of a touchy-feely story. I thought, oh, good. Now they're trying to reverse the trend because they're only endemic in one particular area of Mexico.
Okay.
They don't breed anywhere else.
Yeah, but we've got them as pets. Yeah.
But they're ugly as sin, but...
They're endangered?
Yes, on the verge of.
Are they? Yeah, probably because we've all had them as pets for our children.
And other reasons.
I wasn't sure oxalotls were much of a pet, were they, mate?
They were a big trend here when my kids were going to school.
Oh, okay.
We had this cartoon, you get these comics and they would be advertised, walking fish, seahorses, and that sort of stuff.
So that was a little glimmer of hope that we're trying to reverse the trend.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise they were so versatile and so they had so many abilities that I wasn't known.
No, okay.
The idea of regenerating nerves would be interesting.
I
hope the species
There's another thing that I think is interesting and quite good news in a way. You know, everyone poo-pots China, and it's got some issues, but there's a big conference in China this week with the Africa, that virtually all the nations in Africa are having a China-Africa
Because they've
conference.
Just announced a $50 billion loan to some African nations over a three-year period.
And we hear from the West that, China's just getting all Africans into a debt trap and all this. But
The Europeans do that as well?
Well, I think Jeffrey Sachs, someone pointed out, it was Jerry's take on China, which is worth watching on YouTube too, and he's come out with some facts and figures. Like Africa debt to China is about 10 or 12%. Guess who had most of the debt is to? Private big Western corporations, which means families who own the corporations.
A new form of slavery.
Yeah, so all this is, going about
and
China.
How dare these Chinese step in and...
Yeah, but what in return... China's and even China's interest on these loans that they do give to these projects is still half what the West charge, or just over half what the West charge. So who's actually done the exploiting, and who's done the exploiting for the last 200 or 300 years,
if not more? Exactly.
You know, and who did the slaughtering of,
slavery,
Belgium, slavery?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who exploited Africa? It wasn't the Chinese. Well,
You can't trust them because
something about their eyes.
And the other thing is
they're only doing what the Westerners did, but they're doing a better job of it.
But China's not just doing that; it's built them ports, building railways, it's built hospitals, it's built education, it's actually built roads.
And the West have
what's America done?
But they've got no reason to take umbrage because they've taken the after ball. They neglected the Solomon Islands for decades, and then the Chinese show an interest and start building some infrastructure. Oh, how dare they?
Yeah. So China...
Well, you ignored them, and then so
They're going to go to someone who's going to lend the money, Chinese or
well, and going to do the work. America goes, well, we want to put a brace in because we're the most successful country in the world. You just need to do as you're told. Here's a suitcase of money, but they don't do anything else.
No, it doesn't do anything for the economy.
They reward
a few elites.
Maybe a couple of girls from the sailors.
Grease a few palms, that sort of thing. But yeah, they don't actually do anything.
No. So China's got the approach.
And the Americans have got the audacity to take umbrage.
Well, they do. But but it goes back to what Jeffrey Sachs talks about. He said America is obsessed with staying number one. It really is obsessed.
Crook by crook.
They don't care what trouble they cause anywhere.
As long as they're number one.
As long as they're number one. That's their mojo. That's their sole goal. It doesn't matter how many people die.
That's their reason for being.
Yeah, it is. It's this exceptional, this supremacy. And so, you know, good on the Chinese for doing this because they've virtually got every African nation going to this conference. And what do we see about it in the West? You know, have you two heard about it?
Al Jazeera.
No.
Al Jazeera might have mentioned it, but it's not. You don't hear about it in mainstream media. No. But if it was America doing the same thing, but America doesn't do the same thing.
Where's Congress?
Chinese seem to do very well in no matter where they go. They seem to outdo the Europeans.
Well, they have
hands over fist.
They have this win-win policy, which doesn't mean which has got the biggest gun. It means win-win. I'll build you a railway in return. What can you do for me? We trade. You know?
Yeah. So where's the conference being held? In China itself?
In China itself.
But I just thought
the Chinese, rather than concentrate on blowing people up and supplying weapons, and they've got a military, sure, but it's this obsession by the American to stay number one that has made them, they don't like Russia, they don't like China. What are they going to think of India? Because India grows in power and everything else. So it's nuts, the Yanks, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just nuts.
And Kamala Harris, Trump, you know, we all know is a narcissistic buffoon, but Kamala Harris, warmongering, she's got up in her major speech and says, we are going to be number one, our military is going to be number one. That's just worrying, isn't it?
It's just more money for the elites.
Yeah, of course it is. Not saying, well, we're going to clean up the 200,000 people who die from drug overdoses. No mention of them.
No.
They don't count. It's like, that's the war in America. That's the people we don't care about.
They'll have similar lines like that.
They must do. And that's their American democracy, you know?
Yeah.
And sadly, become an arsehole of democracy too.
That's the danger.
Two-tier health system and education and all the rest of it.
This is what we said before. Capitalists and politicians sharing the same bed.
Not all politicians, but a lot of them come from that world.
A lot of them come from that world.
Yeah.
So they don't know anything else, even if they mean well, you know?
And these days, politicians aren't inclined to be independent in thinking. They've got to follow the party line.
And they can get in trouble if they don't. Look at the UK.
Voted in the parliament back about the child welfare system, and seven Labour MPs
were suspended.
So much for democracy and
democracy in action.
Well, I see Starmer's popularity has plummeted already.
Oh, this is a surprise.
There's a surprise. Mind you, say we got elected on 30% of the vote or something?
But they also found out they haven't got as much money in the kitty as they thought.
Well, that's the old argument, isn't it? Look at the Nats. They're still trying to blame the government, not their previous government.
But given the previous government in the UK, I'm not surprised there's not much money in the kitty. The amount of money they've wasted.
And Boris and his friends, you know.
We've run out of time on that very point. Okay, well, see you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.